Hi, welcome to the webinar on how to change your relationship with food without pain or feeling deprived. Basically, when eating and food is an addiction. Now, I promised you on this webinar three secrets that very few people know that'll help you begin to make this change and to give you more insight into what is causing what's going on. And as we're getting ready to start the webinar, I see all these people logging on from all over the world, especially the United States, obviously. There's California, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, New York, Toronto, United Kingdom, Canada. There's Mexico, Singapore. Oh, it's great. So we have people from all over watching this. So I promised you I would share with you some information and we'll get right to it. The best way to do this, of course, is to turn off your notifications. Just give me the next few minutes of your time, 20 or 30 minutes, and I guarantee you, you're going to experience a change. So as we get ready to get started, let's just get started with the goal is your success. That is my overall goal. That's always my goal, is your success. This isn't about me. It's about you and getting what you want. That's my focus. That's what I've been doing for way over 30 years. So one of the things is, what makes this different? Well, it's based on thousands and thousands and thousands of clients that I've dealt with over the years and research and, of course, my own personal experience. But do you dream of a life free from diets and being fat? Of being the person that you know you can be, to be free from the desire to eat when you're emotional or stressed or late night? Do you dream of that being behind you? And you know it can be done. You dream that you know it can be done, but you've tried in vain. Maybe you've tried diets, massive exercise. You've tried controlling it, switching it, avoiding where certain foods are, and yet it always comes back with a vengeance. But it can be done. I have led many thousands to a thin life free from addictive eating. So why do you fail? Well, first of all, I want you to know it's not your fault. You've been set up to fail by your neurology. Our neurology is set up in such a way, it's hard to make these changes in our current environment unless you have some specific ways to do it. By our society, which was built on our neurology, and they become a feedback loop. Maybe you're also affected by what I'll call the paradox of knowledge. I'm going to share more on that. But when you know so much about certain topics and you can help other people, but you can't seem to apply it to your own life, does that seem to be you? And maybe even your own family. Now, I want you to know I've done a lot of things right over the last few years, but I have to admit I've done a lot of things wrong. I'm not proud of, but I'm constantly trying to improve the things I do so I can help more people. Now, after doing this for 35 years, I've discovered the approach to weight has not changed in about 60, 75 years. And diets ensure failure for a lot of reasons. But the more you diet, it seems like the more failure that people have. And we blame clients for what I would call bad treatment, because one size fits all is not good. But that's the way we've done it. And a lot of this, again, goes back to the paradox of knowledge. There's so much information on nutrition and exercise and all this. We don't know what to do anymore. If you go to a bookstore, there's literally A to Z, Atkins to the zone. So what do we do? And that's what the paradox of knowledge is. I began to think about this. I was going to conferences. I'm a psychologist by training, a hypnotist. So I was going to some conferences that were more medical and not in things. So there were doctors there and nutritionists and a whole bunch of nurses. And I would look around and there's all these people vastly overweight. And I'm thinking they have the knowledge from the medical standpoint and the nutrition standpoint, but they're overweight. And then, of course, I go to psychological and hypnosis conference, and the same thing. I see all these people with the same issues, you know, a lot of weight issues. And yet now they have all the answers supposedly from the mental side. So they know what to do, and maybe they can even help others, but they can't do it for themselves. That's the paradox of knowledge. I used to think it was mostly limited to the professionals, and that's basically for the last few years, that's really all I've dealt with are doctors, nurses, hypnotists, alcohol and drug counselors, helping them make changes in their lives. But I began to realize it's probably you. You probably have many conflicting books on diet. If you look it up, you'll read one thing, then you'll read something else. So you end up, you don't know what to do. And maybe you did something in the past that worked for you, but it doesn't work anymore. So all of these things lead to what I call the paradox of knowledge. So I've discovered this the hard way. Well, the good news is you get the easy way. So what's the hard way? Well, people try diets, which restricts food. And forces you to focus on food when food is not the issue necessarily. It's why you eat. You know, it's not just what you eat. It's what's eating you, as I say. So if diets focus you to think about food all the time, which causes more issues. And then what happens when you come off whatever diet that is? They ensure failure. Also, exercise. People try exercise. In America and most of the world, exercise is a lose-lose proposition. If you weren't athletic in, you know, middle school or high school, you started to hate sports. And for most people, they confuse sports with exercise, so they throw it all out. Or they only exercise for specific things at specific times, and they don't learn the way to begin to appreciate it in a new way. Right. And so, again, I've seen people, you know, the old joke of somebody's in a health club working out hard and they say, I'm going to do this till I get in shape so I can quit. Well, that doesn't end well. So that's one of the hard ways. Or you do an exercise you don't like. Right. Now, most people try in vain to stop. And this gets into what they call in the hypnosis world, the law of reverse effect. The harder you try, the harder it becomes. Right. And that's how your brain works. They try traditional willpower. Well, willpower actually sets you up for long-term failure. Willpower is good for short-term boosts of focus and energy to get you through one little thing. But long-term, it doesn't work because of the way your neurology works. Maybe they try a self-help program, like a 12-step program, OA or certain eating programs based on that. Doesn't seem to work. Or they read every book or article on diets and eating and exercise, and it doesn't work. So you want the easy way that stops your desire to eat for the wrong reasons. If you lose the desire to eat for the wrong reasons, guess what? What you eat will change. When you eat will change. How you eat changes. It changes everything from the inside out. So in the past, I was very traditional, and I failed with many, many clients. I'm sad about that to this day, but then I learned the truth. And again, I thought, well, maybe it's just not for everybody. But then I learned a few basic things that shifted how I thought so I could help many more people. Now I got to do the legal thing, which is results are not typical. If you need additional help, seek it now. I would say if you really do the work and results are based on your effort and your focus and your drive, things really change. But I do want you to know I'm a certified master addiction counselor. I'm a member of the American Psychological Association, master hypnotist and NLP trainer. But again, this is not meant to replace medical or psychological treatment. But I want you to know it's not your fault. It's not your fault because you don't know what you don't know. If you don't know it, it doesn't matter. Or it's so conflicting, you really don't know what you truly need to know. And what worked in the past may not work now. Many things are changing, the way they make our food, how they process our food, what's going on at that level. And what worked in the past, again, might not work. Also, you might be, you know, what worked in your mid-20s, skip a few meals, walk around the block a few times, the weight falls off. Now you're in your 30s or 40s, doesn't seem to work that way. So you need to make some different kinds of changes. And again, we go back to that paradox of knowledge. There's so much information, maybe you don't know what to do. And what you have to discover are those hidden secrets that really drive these changes. And again, treatment has not changed in much over 60 years. It's all about the food, which really never works in the long term. So what are the secrets I promised that I would share with you? The first secret is why you're set up to fail. The second secret, what we know about food and eating is wrong, and it's based on our neurology. These two are interrelated. And the third secret, why you have to change from the inside out. Okay. So the first secret, we're set up to fail. Our neurology is such that we're drawn toward pleasurable things, right? We're drawn toward things that make us feel good, and we're pushed away from things that make us feel bad. That's how our neurology developed. That's what keeps us alive. But we've also trained our neurology in different ways that doesn't work anymore, because you have to realize that only up until a few hundred years ago, most people experienced starvation at one point in their lives. You know, unless you were in the real royalty class, starvation was common. Famines would happen, pestilence, these, you know, things would happen. There just wasn't enough food. So your body and your mind adapted to want more food. And when it's there, when it's plentiful, you stock up because, you know, the winter's coming, you're not going to be able to eat. So our neurology was set up for us to want more food. Right? That's what kept us alive for hundreds of thousands of years. And you're the product of all that DNA throughout these, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, and it's not adapted yet to, there's food everywhere, right? And for most of millennia, it goes with secret number two, which is the truth about eating and addictions, is the society developed around the way our neurology was. So sharing food with someone was the ultimate compliment you could give to someone, because food was scarce. If someone came and you offered your bounty, you know, some of what you had, it was the ultimate compliment. And so that's gotten into our society and the way we think about food, which leads to us wanting it more and more. And then what we know about addictions, and many people say, oh, I have an addiction to eating, or I'm addicted to certain foods. No, you're addicted to the process of eating and what that eating gives you. It's that process that you become addicted to, right? And again, it's not just what you eat, it's what's eating you. And then it has to do with neural feedback loops that I'll share some information with you. That causes it, you know, when you get hungry, your dopamine goes up, you want to feel better. That's what your brain's geared to do. So you try to do something to feel better. Unfortunately, through habits and things like that, you've trained yourself to feel better, maybe by grabbing a donut or a candy bar or something like that, and you eat it, and then you have a boost for a moment, you feel better, but then you feel worse because you're trying not to do that. It makes you feel worse, and then you get stuck in that. So that's kind of how these habits turn into these kind of addictive processes that it's hard to get out of. And then the third secret is you have to change from the inside out. You really have to change your relationship with food, eating, and exercise. And when you do that, when you change how you think about it, how you feel about it, it changes what you do, when you do, and how you do it. So the change happens naturally, easily, and from the inside out. You're not forcing it. You know, that's what happens. People force a diet for 30, 60, 90 days. It may work for a while, and then they go back to normal. They force themselves to join the gym, and they go to the gym for 30, 60, 90 days. It works. Then they quit, right? They're not changing from the inside out, so that just becomes a part of who they are. Once you begin to develop this, everything begins to change. But you also need to know that the way the system is right now, the system is set up for you to fail, because there's profit from your pain. Diet companies, obviously, every year they come up with new pills or new things. Eat this or take this. And, you know, they promise the moon and deliver nothing. And, you know, you don't have to change your diet. You don't have to change anything you eat or how you eat, or you never have to exercise, and all this weight will just fall off. Just take this pill. All right. And in fact, I'm not sure they really want you to change long term, because if it works for a little while and then you stop doing it and then you go back, it keeps you going. You know, some of the, some of the companies that kind of set you up that way are the ones with the pre-boxed meals. There's nothing wrong with those. But then what happens when you come off of those, you go back to the old, you put the weight back on, then you're back, and it's a cycle. So there's money to be made. The drug companies, they're always looking for a drug to cure this issue that we have so we can lose the weight. Of course, the issue would be, once they develop it, if they ever could, well, you're going to be on this drug for the rest of your life. And some of the stuff that has been started to be developed, then you're going to be managing the side effects, stomach issues, heart issues, liver issues. I mean, that's not very fun. You know, a few years ago, they had it was called Fen-Phen. And yeah, it helped people lose weight, but it, you know, caused liver damage, kidney damage, heart failure. Oh yeah, not, you know, because basically it was a speeder. So the drug companies are profiting from your pain. Also, all the drugs you have to take because of health issues, right? The food companies, we've made our food addictive. We've raised the fat and the sugar level so high, we've set what we call our threshold for food to taste good so high, we have to have more and more of it. And of course, some of that, the fat and the sugar, is the easiest thing to add, so they don't put in the food that you really need, the nutrition. It's food just to satiate your taste buds, which makes you momentarily feel good and give you a brain boost from the sugar, and it keeps this cycle going. I had a client, it was a guy, he came to me to lose weight when used to work, he'd skip a few meals and the weight would fall off. Well, he couldn't do that anymore, and he traveled a lot. But anyway, he came to me, we worked on the things we'll be talking about, and he lost all the weight, but he was taking a trip to Asia. And he was at a banquet, excuse me, and they brought out the dessert, and we say, oh, you're going to love it. It's so sweet, right? And so he took a bite, and he goes, it was okay, Doc, but it wasn't that sweet. And then he goes, I remembered what you said about how, you know, American food is so sweet, and it's changing this way all over the world because it's easier to make, that by our standards, people wouldn't think it was sweet. But by their standards, because they haven't gotten there yet, they thought it was very sweet. And because he changed his taste buds and his relationship with food, he didn't want it. So the food companies are doing this. I remember that there's a big thing where they cereal companies, which has added so much sugar and this to cereals, especially for kids, gets them to eat more of it. There was a meeting and they discussed about things to make kids, you know, eat healthier or put in more healthy thing, that they might take a short-term hit in profit while they basically reset everyone's taste buds. And one of the CEOs of the cereal company said, well, his job is not to make healthy kids. His job is to sell cereal to make money for the stockholders. So that's, they're there for that. And also the medical community, much like the drug companies, we have to admit, when you have health issues because of your weight, you know, your knees, you got to have knee replacement, hip replacement, backs out because you're overweight, cardiovascular, diabetes, all these things can put you in a cycle where you're generating income for the medical community and the drug companies and things like that. So they profit from your pain. Now, I have to tell you, I was there. Here's my story, right? This is why I can relate. You know, I was at a conference once. Now, as I said, I was going to these conferences. I'd see these nurses and nutritionists. They're fat. And I'm like, they have the answers. Why aren't they doing it? I was going to these psych conferences and hypnosis conferences. I used to say, why are there so many fat hypnotists? And I said, like, what's wrong with them? But then one day, even though I knew all this and I was an athlete, I worked out, I did all this. One day, things in my life changed. And I was at a conference and I was getting ready to go to the banquet and I was going to put on a suit I hadn't worn for a year or two and I couldn't zip up my pants. I had to lay on the bed to take a deep breath so I could zip up my pants. I don't know if you've ever had to do that, but there I was trying to do that, right? And that made me realize I couldn't get it. I have the paradox of knowledge. I was helping all these other people, but I couldn't help myself, right? And I'm like, what do I do? So it started me on a quest, and I found something hidden, and I went back to my treatment and my work as an addiction counselor and quit focusing on the food. I started focusing on the process of eating as what the problem was. Why was I eating? When was I eating? How was I eating? When? And then everything started to change. And I really developed that it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you, changing my relationship with food, which changed everything instantaneously. Again, because if you change your mind, you change your life. And not knowing is not your fault, right? That's the good news. You don't know. But now, once you begin to know this information, it changes everything. It kind of wakes you up. It brings you out of your slumber, right? And old habits die hard. But we want to break free. And the way to do this is you have to learn how to use your brain the way it actually works, right? Your neurology. Once you use that, it's called neuroplasticity. And there's chemical aspects of eating as an addiction. It has to do with dopamine and serotonin and all these feedback loops and how habits work in our body. And habits are not really bad. We develop a habit to save mental energy so we could do other things. We always talk about driving a car. Once you learn how to drive, you don't have to think about how to turn the key, how to do this and all that. You just go, right? Your brain automatically goes. Even when you're driving along, the light turns yellow, you kind of think about go, stop, all this. It's on autopilot, right? That's a good thing. It develops what we call a neuroplasticity loop in your brain. It just becomes natural. Unfortunately, we've trained some of these pathways in our brains about eating. I feel bad. I have to eat. It's late. I have to feel bad. I'm not happy because my relationship is terrible or I'm going through a bad thing and this, that, da, 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 da. We develop these loops, right? So we have to change that. And then with it, we have stress in our society now that never ends, right? It's 24/7. You have stress at work and then you come home, you have stress at home maybe, and then stress here, stress there. And stress, it releases a hormone called cortisol and has a domino effect, as it says, and kind of hardwires pathways between the hippocampus and the amygdala. These are the parts of the brain where your deep habits go. And And if we're constantly in a state of fight or flight, we're retraining it in a new way, and food becomes the answer. That's all it really is. It's trying to make you feel better, right? And addictions and addictive behavior like stress causes eating, which increases stress, and then you want to eat more because you have more stress, and it starts these cycles, right? And the brain is constantly seeking relief and or pleasure, right? And so some of the secrets, you know, when you're under stress, your memory is foggy. You can't remember, if I eat this, I end up wanting more. When was the last time I ate? Things like that. Lowers your inhibition. Oh, this time it won't matter. I'll start tomorrow. You ever say that? But you need to seek relief. It feels like you must. You have to eat, or you need to eat this right now. And this addiction process hijacks that feedback loop, so you want more of it. Right? It's almost like when you're in it, you can't stop. And that's why you keep going back. And again, it's not your fault. You have to rewire your brain in order for this to really work. But you'll be thrilled to know that you can do at home what I used to always do in my clinic. Right? When people used to come to see me, I had people fly in from all over the country to Southwest Florida and to work with me on this issue. And then I started doing it on the internet with, you know, first Skype and then Zoom and other conference ways you can do things. So, but I realized I needed to take this so people could do it at home. Because again, I've used hypnosis and NLP, what they call neuro-linguistic programming, along with cognitive behavioral therapy, to help people obviously lose weight, stop smoking, all these things. I've helped over 20,000 clients one-on-one. Probably over 100,000 in groups when I would travel around. And I've done that over the last 30 years. And I thought, why not share how I rapidly help clients reprogram their mind with this unique approach that not only helps them recover, but become the person they want to be and to do it at home, right? Where it's private. No one needs to know what you're doing. You know, one of the things going against what some people would say, once you start, you know, when I tell you what I do, if you decided to do it, I tell people, you don't have to tell anybody. Just do it for yourself. Become the example. Don't talk about it, right? And of course, it's a price point where there's no insurance, so it's easy to do. And you don't have to take time away to go to therapy. You can do it at your own time, maybe at night when after work or when the kids go to sleep or first thing in the morning before you head to work or on your lunch hour. It's set up for your success. And so what you get in this program that I developed that I call the Ultimate Fat Loss for You, there's 12 modules. It's basically what I would do at the beginning of any session for, you know, the 12-week program I used to constantly do in my office to help people kick this thing once and for all. Then I'm going to do coaching calls. Once a week, you can jump on and get into a coaching call where I'll take questions. Maybe you can email me a question. I'll answer them. I'll talk about certain topics all around addictions and how to recover and food and all this other stuff to help you get better. And again, if you can't make the conference call, it'll be recorded and it'll be there for you to review later on. There will be bonus hypnosis audios that you can download and listen to anytime, right? So you'll have a hypnosis audio with every module that you do, and there'll be some bonus audios, which helps you reprogram the mind. Hypnosis has been proven to work faster and more effective than any other type of psychological therapeutic intervention to help people make deep changes. And when I used to do this, my small group sessions were $1,997. So that's what I charged. But what I'm going to do now, the value is $1,997, but for the people here on this call, because I want to help more people, I want to get this information out there, because I'm like you. There's almost like a conspiracy to keep us fat and miserable. Let's change this from the inside out. So I'm going to do this for $197, right? And who has this work for? Well, people that eat too much and want to control it. You know, I had a client, and he came to me. It was a guy, and he weighed over 400 pounds, and he played college football. He was a lawyer now, and so basically, he had trained himself to eat about 6,000 to 8,000 calories a day while he was all through almost junior high school, college, because he played football. And then, you know, after he finished playing college football and was finishing law school and starting his practice, he never changed his diet. It became part of him. I mean, he was doing it for about 10 years. You know, so his breakfast, I still remember, was like 6 pieces of bread, about 8 eggs, and some bacon. Well, you know, he's a lawyer now. As I kidded him, the hardest thing he has to do is tell the truth. And But we had to change that. We also had to change his relationship with exercise. So, once we changed that and changed how he looked at it and some of the things from the inside out, his relationship with it, he started eating much more normal. And he said, I remember I got a call from him after about a year. He said one of the best things ever happened. He finally had to go buy all new suits because he couldn't get his clothes tailored anymore to fit him. He'd lost so much weight that now he had to go get all new suits. And he goes, it's the best thing that ever happened to him. His only regret was he didn't start it sooner. And then I get a lot of people like Mary who came to me. She thought she may have a problem. She couldn't seem to beat it. What used to work didn't work. For many years, she'd skip a few meals, walk around the block a few more times, just become a little more cognizant and the weight would fall off. Now she was in her, early 40s in kind of an unhappy situation. And she found herself eating more. And she goes, is it the unhappy situation? Is it the eating more? She was stuck. And so we came, we changed her relationship with what she was eating and how she was eating. She started eating differently, and the weight fell off, and that was about 45 pounds ago. As she said, one of my ads, she was one of the ones, lady dumps 45 painful pounds and finds happiness. And then people that are just tired of the cycle, gain, lose, gain, lose, gain, lose. I had Joyce, she was the one, grandma dumps 105 horrible pounds and can play with her grandkids now. She goes, since her teenage years, she would gain 40 or 50 pounds, then lose 30 or 40 pounds. Then she'd gain 40 or 50 pounds, then lose 40 or 50 pounds. So that she kept creeping up and she was just tired of it. She didn't want to struggle with it anymore. She was constantly, in fact, the first thing she said, I'm struggling with my diet constantly. I said, well, quit fighting. If you fight, you're going to lose. And and you're not just fighting the food, you're fighting society and your neurology and all this other stuff. And so we changed some of those things from the inside and the weight began to fall off. And she said, almost like magically, And then as she lost the weight, then she had the energy to do some exercise and play. Her goal was to play with her grandkids, right? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I had Ed come in and he was constantly just feeling like crap. And because he was about 40 pounds overweight, but he was pretty athletic most of his life, still worked out, but everything hurt. Everything just hurt. And intellectually, he knew, if he dropped that weight, his back would feel better, his knees and his hips, doctor told him that because he started thinking he needed knee replacements. And the doctor said, well, you might, but if you drop that weight, you're not powerlifting anymore. You don't have to do this. But he didn't know how. Because again, he'd set his diet in such a way, his relationship with food. And he had another thing going on in his head, which was interesting. Much like men can have the fear of being too, he didn't want to be small because, he wasn't a tall guy, but he was real muscular. And somehow, every time he lost weight, he started thinking, that he's small, and he always wanted to be a big man. And he was a real muscular guy. So he changed some of those things from the inside and the weight fell off, right? Maybe they tried therapy or treatment, things that might work somewhat, didn't work. I remember Carol came in. She had been in an unhappy marriage and found herself eating and eating and eating for a lot of reasons. One, to make herself try to feel better because she didn't like being in the marriage. Another, to be honest with you, she didn't want her husband to bother her. So, the bigger she got, the less he bothered her. So all these habits kind of became ingrained, and then now she was ending the marriage and ready to move on, and the therapy was helping her self-esteem and self-confidence. I knew her therapist, but her diet didn't seem to want to change. So she came to me, and we changed her relationship with food. It worked in conjunction with what she was doing, and the weight started to fall off, and it's been off for way over 10 years. And I've had a lot of people come to see me that they're in a 12-step program, for an addiction, usually alcohol, because I'm an addiction counselor. I'm in recovery myself. And so I know a lot of people and they come in and they say, I thought I would try the 12 steps for this problem like eating because it worked with the alcohol or the drugs. And they go, I love the 12 steps, but it didn't really help me with this issue. I say, well, one of the differences is, of course, you can live the rest of your life never drink again, alcohol, never take drugs, but you got to eat. You got to eat a couple of times a day, right? So you got to open that box up every few hours and do this. So it's a little bit different. So we worked within what their model was and what would work to help them make those changes. And of course, many of us have read every weight loss book, you know, Atkins to the Zone, to the, you know, the all the other South Beach, what's big now, the keto diet. I mean, the list goes on, and you get overwhelmed with it and you don't know what to do. And again, that's just focusing on the food. It's not focusing on the process. It's not focusing on the problem. It's not the food. It's what the food does for you. And once you change that, and you give yourself what you really need, things really begin to change, right? Now, when I was developing this Ultimate Fat Loss for You, again, I was working with doctors and nutritionists, a lot of hypnotists and therapists. I had two choices when I was urged to take this out to the general public. The first is option one, was to go as cheap as possible so I could sell as many as possible, but it really wouldn't give me the incentive to do the things I needed to do to increase the value so you would really succeed. So the second option, which I've decided to do, requires a little higher investment, not much. I've kept it really reasonable. But in exchange, I can devote more resources to guarantee your success. Because when someone loses weight, especially if they've had this weight issue for years, it's so fulfilling to me when I get those letters and those phone calls and I see people and they tell me the change that's happened, right? And, you know, I've told you about a few of my clients. And I really want to tell you about Rich. And I always say my buddy or my friend, because that's kind of how I think about my clients, even though I'm helping them change. Well, he ran a restaurant for years, a pizza place, an Italian restaurant. And one of the closing rituals was they'd have a few drinks and eat. Well, you know, and he ran the restaurant with his wife, and it was a family business. Well, the marriage was going through some changes, shall we say. And so he found himself drinking a little more. He didn't like that. So he found himself eating a little more. Of course, he was a great cook. So he kept eating and eating. And he goes, it was trying to feel better. He got bigger and bigger. And he used to always kid around, well, you wouldn't want to trust a fat, a chef that was super skinny. And first thing when he met me, first thing I said, I don't know. When you look at the really gourmet chefs, they're usually not very big, right? And so, you know, and he was basically a gourmet chef, and he started thinking about it, right? So he started to make those changes, and he realized it was the relationship with food that he used to replace what he used to have with his wife and his family, and now it was the food, and you know, and the alcohol. We got the alcohol out of the way, and then we had to attack the food. And once he changed that, it changed what he eat, when he eat, and how he ate. And so everything started to change. He loved it so much. He not only, you know, lost all that weight, 65, 70 pounds, and kept it off for decades. He learned hypnosis and NLP. He got into that. You know, he helps people on the side. He's still a gourmet cook and does all that, but this is what he loves to do. And then I will tell another story real quick. Was a person, they were a gourmet chef in Fort Myers, Florida, and they gained about 105 pounds. And they didn't think anything of it till one day, one of the other chefs got sick and they had to actually cook all day, right, at his gourmet restaurant. And he couldn't stay on his feet, right? He goes, it just hit me what a fat, miserable pig I'd become, right? And he goes, then I really looked in the mirror, was like, Doc, for the first time, I didn't see that guy that was 34 and, you know, height, weight proportionate and, you know, cool. I saw the 46-year-old guy that weighed damn near 300 pounds, right? And he goes, I will do anything I need to do. And he goes, but I love food. I said, well, that's great. Everybody likes food. Skinny people like food. That's, you know, that when someone says, yeah, I can't lose weight because I love food. Well, that's got nothing to do with it. It's, you know, it's, do you enjoy your food? And I would argue if you're really, really big, you're not enjoying your food, you know? And he started to look at it and he said, you know, that's probably true. A lot of the food I just wolf down because I'm, you know, I'm under stress. We go back to our stress thing, you know, building his business and opening up another restaurant and, you know, hiring and firing people and all that. And food became his comfort. You know, he also went through some personal changes in his relationships, ended a long-term relationship and a partner and was, had a couple, you know, partners that didn't work out, you know, lovers that didn't work out. So there's all this. So once we began to adjust, you know, not adjust, but have him change his relationship where food was becoming the panacea, the thing he was doing to make him feel good, you know, he lost the weight. He got down to his goal weight. It took him about 18 months, but he worked with me religiously and just kept doing what we were doing, lost the weight and kept it off. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. The one was, and lastly, I always tell another quick story. It was a girl. and she came to see me and Terry, and she gained about 45 pounds, right? And she was flabbergasted. She didn't know why. She was a nurse. She knew what she needed to do. I mean, you know, the hundreds of hypnotists and professionals I've helped, it's always funny. And, you know, and again, her hips are hurt. She was a nurse. She was a floor nurse. So her hips hurt, her knees hurt because she had this extra weight. And she knew what she needed to do. And of course, the hospital was getting more stressful. And so, you know, we made the changes that we're talking about, and she got the weight off. Only took her about 5 months. It was fascinating, right? Found out, by the way, she was genetically gifted. When she started exercising, she looked fabulous, all right? And I give a bonus when we're doing this is those coaching calls. Now, I'm going to limit this to the first 30 people, you know, because, again, we got, you know, almost 2,000 people on the webinar. And I want to help as many people as I can. I'll try to keep opening it up so people can get this. And yeah, and at least get the recordings. If they're not on the live coaching call, they can get the recordings, send in questions. I can answer them. This is where you can customize it to fit you even more. And maybe you'll hear stories from other people, you know, which can be motivating and help you keep going, right? Then the hypnosis audios, and this will be for the first 20 people. And again, I'm constantly adding to this, changing. And these are the hypnosis audios that really would really work. I don't spend wasted time and effort trying to make the perfect background and the perfect, you know, studio quality, this or that. I'm going to give you the stuff that really works, right? It's the words, it's the change, it's your attitude. If we get you to do that, then it really works. And I try to keep them very short, 10 to 15 minutes. You listen to them when you're going to sleep, listen to them when you first wake up. Many people put them on their phone. I used to say iPod, you know, it used to be cassettes, for God's sakes. But, you know, listen when you can. Changes your attitude, and hypnosis has been proven to be one of the most effective change agents out there to make long-term behavioral changes. Now, if all I did was help you feel better, would it be worth it? If all I did was remove your desire to stress eat or eat late at night, would it be worth it? If all I did was stop your food addiction, which is actually an eating addiction, would it be worth it? Would it be worth it if I stopped those endless diets? So you're not doing the latest diet, the fad diet, whatever Cosmos says now, or Men's Health, or whatever it is. If all I did was help you regain your self-respect, would it be worth it, right? So you can see why people are paying me that $19.97 for this protocol in clinics or small groups, live or online, right? So it really comes down to, what is your freedom, your self-respect, maybe even your life worth to you? Maybe $100,000. You know, if you have to have quadruple bypass, that's going to be very expensive. Change your life. Maybe $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. What? How much would it pay to get free? Right. And what about being an example to your kids or your grandkids? Right. So you don't play this forward through the people around you. Right. And then what about regret? Regret is terrible. One of the things of all the clients I've had over the years, the thousands of clients, they almost all say at halfway through the program, their only regret is they didn't do it sooner. Because as we get mature, it's the things we don't do that we regret the most. You know, the house you didn't buy, the job you didn't take, the thing you didn't do, the person you didn't go out with, whatever it is, you look back and go, I should have done it, right? I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to take this opportunity because one of my joys is helping people change, right? So you can see why it's a good deal at $197. And this is because really nothing happens by mistake. Why are you here? How did you find this webinar? Why are you listening? What's going on, right? Nothing happens by mistake. You were led here by a reason. You might want to call it a higher power, your guardian angel. But something's happening for you to be here and to get this information that probably only 3% of the world's population get, including the doctors don't have it, the therapists don't have it, and the nutritionists don't have it. And that's because you're here. I want to offer this to you so you can avoid that regret. But the way to avoid regret is to take action now. So click on the button below and just get started so you can let that thin person out that's on the inside, that person that eats healthy naturally and easily, right? Now you have two options. Option one, do nothing and not take this leap of faith, which is almost risk-free. And of course, you'll get fatter. You'll have more misery and more pain. And you'll start that pathway of regret. You know, thinking, if I'd have done that, would it have worked? The second option is pay up this investment, which is tiny compared to all the value you get, and just give it a shot. If it works, great. If not, you can always ask for your fat and misery back, and I'm sure society will happily refund it. So the real question is, ladies and gentlemen, is it worth gambling a few minutes of your time on a small investment, which even if it does half of what I claim today on this webinar, it will pay for itself? Because regret is the enemy. So are you worth it? That's the question. And I always close with the tale of two people. You know, one was like Betty, who came to me and going through some changes in her life, relationship changes and other changes. She developed some bad habits for eating that when she was in her teens and 20s, it didn't seem to bother her. Now in her late 30s, suddenly she just literally blew up like a balloon, which caused some hormone issues. I mean, the list goes on and on. And finally, her doctor actually said, you need to go see somebody change how you eat. You know, I mean, this other stuff we can get help, but you got to change. So she came to see me and she followed the suggestions, you know, because she really wanted the life that she dreamed of, to be a wife and a mother and all that. But she knew she could never be a good wife or a good mother if she didn't like who she was. So she started to make those changes and lost all that weight, right? Or you can be like Barry, who came, we talked. He started, you know, he came to like one session, decided, you know, I don't need this. I can do it on my own. Well, last time I ran across him, you know, he put on another 25 pounds and he was going to get to it soon. You know, he was going to call me. And so the choice is yours, right? So get started today. Just click the button below and we'll help you get to be the person you truly, truly want to be. So click that button and take that action now. So I'd like to thank you. And again, this is Dr. Will Horton, and have a great day, and I'll see you as we trudge the road to happy destiny.